Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, or good night, depending on where and what time you're listening to this at. Welcome to episode 9 of Darren Matthews and Sometimes Friends, the podcast that I named And Sometimes Friends in case no one wanted to come and be on it this week. However, this week I am joined by Cormac McDiarmada.
You, correct pronunciation.
Thank you very much, sir. I figured you would have me kneecapped if I got it wrong.
Yeah, get out of Beachmount, okay, mate.
We are recording live from Beachmount in the car because we needed a sort of dead space for the audio. And your kitchen is cavernous, I would describe it as.
True, yeah. It's like an ice box in there.
We had to get that, but it is actually warmer in the car.
Sitting here looking like Special Branch.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We are also sitting, as we pointed out, in two very over-the-top GAA branded merchandise clothing items.
We literally look like some sort of Fenian plant.
Yeah.
Like, it's ridiculous.
Pretty much.
The Fenian honey trap, that's our name.
Yeah. I mean, you speak Irish, I'll be taking out a shot.
True, yeah. That'll give me like a few more seconds and all, and they're like, that's only GCSE standard.
I get a C in the GCSEs. My Oscalic is terrible.
See, I was really good at speaking it, but my grammar, I was like literally brain dead at the grammar. I was like, this is like trying to write Lord of the Rings language. Because you know, you can keep up speaking it for a while. It's like, it's grand, you know, but writing, who's still writing Irish, you know?
Yeah. One of the things we had, obviously because where I come from in the world, beautiful sunny South Armagh, a lot of the people who learned to speak Irish down there, so there were a lot of native Irish speakers, Gaelic War families.
Mm-hmm.
But then there are the guys that, and I found out that in Belfast and also down at home, the correct name for them is a Gaelgore.
A Gaelgore,
the people
good.
Who learn to speak Irish, like, oh, when they were interned.
Yes, I've heard the term Gaeltacht as well.
Yeah, the Gaeltacht's fantastic.
I love that so much.
One of the things I thought was great was whenever I Google mapped your address, they come over here, it says the Gaeltacht Quarter on your.
Oh, does it?
Because we're right beside College of First Year here in West Belfast, so.
Sounds that's very fancy.
I know it does, doesn't it?
Did you notice RPG Avenue when you turned in too?
I did see that.
Did you that? Yeah. That's so funny when you're speaking to taxi man, they're like, is it this right here? And you're like, no, just up RPG Avenue there, mate. Take a left where Big Mick was shot last week, and that's just my house there, mate. Thank you.
And I'm like, well. Fucking hell.
Oh, just doing like a point by point of like local crimes. He's like, oh, that's where you live, right? Okay, I get it straight away. 100%.
One of my favourite things, because I'm not from Belfast, but I play football up here. Mm-hmm. I play up on the Shaws Road. One of my favourite things about coming up the West Belfast is I always feel really well spoken when I come here.
Oh, really? Yeah, looking down on everyone?
Exactly. Because I never get to do that. Because before that, people, when I moved up to Belfast, people would be like, mate, you talk funny. I'm like, are you sure it's me?
That's so good. What sort of names do they have for ones from Belfast up here? I have heard Wawas before because people say Wah. Like Wah, Wah.
A Wawas?
I've heard of people being on Belfast being called Wawas.
Like a culchi?
Yeah, so like that would be the culchi retort back is calling us a Wawa.
I guess
like different breeds of culchi though have like a different sex.
Yeah, you know,
like,
I would say a Belfastard.
A Belfastard, very good.
A Belfast
good.
Bastard. When you're working with boys on built-in sites, they're Frankies.
Because not frankincense. They were given that is to do with the Second World War, isn't it, when people got moved out into the country and they had something that was attached to their name to do with Frank? Was it a certain type of currency?
Craig Avenue, you're talking about, is it?
No, literally, people being called Frankies was to do with World War II when people from Belfast got put out to the country, and then that's where they got the nickname. It's to do with a certain. They had something connected to Belfast people that was to do with the word Frank or Frankie.
You see, I'm going to go and investigate that now because usually it's sort of just a name that I know.
Yeah, I can't. That's history.
It's usually the pretense of it is useless Frankie bastard.
Poor wee kids, World War II, come up to the culture, he's getting griefed.
Yeah,
right,
exactly.
Center.
What are you doing here?
To worse than what the Nazis are going to do to them, you heartless bastards.
But, you know, I wanted to get you on as well because, well, number one, you're actually the first comedian I've had on this podcast.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Yeah, because it turns out
so
I actually...
You had William on then, yeah?
No, William hasn't been on yet. No,
no.
I know. I'll get him.
That was a joke because I'm a comedian.
I liked it. It's good that only one of our friends will get that.
Yeah.
Everyone
yeah.
else is going... Fuck William.
Oh, yeah, sir. I'm so down.
It's okay. In jokes don't work. Keep him off stage, son.
Off stage.
But, yeah, because you're doing stand-up now, but for years and years, you've been doing the Barrett Boys.
Sure, yes, I have. About 7 years, I'm doing the Barrett Boys.
Well, number one, what started that? And number two, why move it to a live arena? Because it's very much a written and produced...
Yeah. Well, the origin stories, how long have you got, right? So when I was in Queen's University doing film studies, we had to have, like, a production company name. Quite a lot of people would pick like these extremely pretentious ones, like, you know, Reflective Lake or like Crystal Dawn. And I was like, I'm going to pick like the most schmicked out one I can. And then going back, and the name The Barrett Boys comes from the fact when we were at 16 or 17, we'd all go up to Lady Dixon Park. And the only thing we could afford would be these big barracks of cider.
And barrack of cider is a 3 litre bottle.
3 litre bottle, yes.
For our listeners in places like Canada and Australia. And by this point, they've turned off because we're speaking too quickly.
Very quickly.
So
far too quickly.
Yeah, so the Barrack was, okay, so the Notorious Barrack Boys, yeah, or so, was it a Barrack Boy?
So originally it was just the Barrack Boy, and then I was like, I'll call it the Notorious Barrack Boy, and that's why I called the production company in Queens, just to kind of like piss everybody off, to be like super, you know, unpretentious.
Yeah.
And then I just started making like small comedy videos, and they got like quite popular, and then just kept putting them on Facebook, and then doing statuses and stuff, and then people would kind of ask, did I do stand-up? And I was like, no, not really, but I was always into like acting comedy, and then just kind of started to transition over to that. I've liked it.
I thought you were going to say transition to a female.
Yeah. Well, my comedy is stunning and brave. You know, and if you say otherwise, it's a hate crime.
Exactly. No, there's plenty of hate crimes in your videos as well, so it's fine.
Very true, very true.
Fantastic. How have you been fighting doing live? Because like, I saw you that night in Lavery's Comedy mm-hmm. Club, and you smashed it, man.
Oh, thank you very much, mate. Yeah.
Did you enjoy that?
Oh, it was probably my favourite set.
Because I've seen that one, mm-hmm. and then I've also seen you, obviously, because you're sort of newer to the game.
Yeah.
I've seen the natural nerves of the performer just starting, because it is terrifying.
Yeah, definitely. I feel almost like every time I do stand-up, and it's probably true for quite a lot of stand-ups, it's like you come away with like a new ability. So like you'll be slightly more confident each time you do it, and then eventually you feel like easier to talk to the audience and stuff, and you're not just quite going off a script, and then you have like these new kind of tools in your arsenal that you can apply to doing stand-up. So like before, when I was doing stand-up, it was very much, because I'd done like acting before, but it was literally just me reading kind of a monologue for 5 minutes. No variation, like it would be the exact same 100% of the time.
Yeah.
And now it's kind of a bit more loose sentences that are bullet points that I kind of can speak around and jump back and forward a little bit, and I feel like a bit more confident doing that. So
what you're telling me here is you're essentially a human version of a Pokemon getting experience points.
I am.
Sweet, that's okay.
Leveling up, only fucking gym I go to.
but that's cool. So I mean to move from the produced stuff, but like you're still producing and you're still doing statuses and you're still
still doing that, working on a rap video at the minute, as I was telling you before.
Super.
So check that out, the Barrack Boy page. That's forget to subscribe.
One of the ones just when you said that I'm doing that you were doing the rap video, mm-hmm. I pointed out that the news today is West Belfast's Irish language rapper's kneecap.
Oh my god, big shout out to kneecap.
Big shout out to kneecap, absolutely, lads. I don't know what you're saying, but I love the beats.
Oh, they're so good.
Their stuff is class.
So good. Yeah, they've got like their latest track, I think it's Brits Out, has like this class kind of like 90s, almost like house beat behind it. And like, okay. I genuinely love the beats as well that they accompany with all the songs. So good.
They've got themselves in a spot of bother. And by spot of bother, I mean an absolute genius marketing play.
Oh my god, the best.
Yeah, so they're going to go do a UK tour, which is called the Farewell to the Union?
Farewell to the Union, yeah.
Yeah. Which is, because I mean, to be fair, they are going to bulldoze the Queen's Union soon.
Yeah.
So, true. Like, could be that.
May as well.
Could be Farewell to the Union.
Capitalise.
Maybe they're all Queen's University graduates. They're not, like. And their imagery is them at the New Lodge bonfire holding two petrol bombs. And on top of the New Lodge bonfire is Arlene Foster and Boris Johnson tied to a rocket.
Yeah. So, number
one, class. And number two, like whoever came up with that is an absolute market genius.
Yeah, literally, like the Irish News given the best publicity of all time.
Yeah.
Just wait till the newsletter and Belfast Telegraph get it; they're gonna go insane. But again, just it's the best publicity possible.
I hope it makes UTV Live. It's gotta be.
It does. That's straight up dollar signs. It's just like thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks for selling out our tour there, lads.
Yeah, means a lot.
Superb. So, that's obviously one of your interests as well. Is there's a lot of sort of. And a lot of your stuff, the jokes that you're putting up is a lot of stuff from being from West Belfast. And when did you realise how funny a place it was?
Because
I felt like where I come from, I had to leave to come back and go, you people are nuts.
I think it was at the start, me and my friends, I have a vivid memory of when we were about 15 or 16 and we were in our film studies class. We would always like do these scenarios where we would put like a kind of a local taxi man or like a local kind of salt of the earth character who we knew in like a Hollywood film scenario and just kind of see how different it would play out. And then that we would always speak about it and, you know, insert these like louder than life characters in. And then it would just always make us laugh so much. Then we started doing like parodies of like the Jason films. So like Jason would be completely the way he is in the normal films, but then all the characters would be from West Belfast, and just these jokes naturally you could just write them in so easily, and just kind of the goofy shit that people do in West Belfast, and like it always does have a sense of humour almost in everything that it does.
I had a fantastic West Belfast moment today where I went down to like just sort of have a wee browse for some games down in CX in the Park Centre.
Yeah.
And there's a big grid outside the front door that's for emergency vehicles only. And one of what I can only describe as the most smicked out man I've ever seen in my life.
Oh my god.
Pulled into it. And he just pulled in and he hopped out on his phone. Fuck. And he was walking behind me and he's walked in. The two security guards went, mate, you can't fucking park her. And the wee lad goes, I'll be 2 minutes. I went back on his phone. And the only thing the security guard could say to, well, fucking hurry up, man. And that's, I was just thinking, brilliant. Westy.
There was a cracker I seen a while ago. It was this girl, and she was on the bus going to the city centre. And she was on the phone shouting, and you couldn't help but overhear her conversation. And the gist of it was that her ex-partner, the dirty bastard, as he was called, had given her her child support money, not only late, but it was all dud notes. And like, people on the bus and all were like trying not to laugh. And
20s with Jerry Lewis,
yeah, like literally dud notes. Oh, like, and I was like, oh, this has to be one of the most like smicked out things I've ever heard.
That's brilliant.
I know. For anyone who doesn't know, smick is like a term for like a local funny but quite working class character.
Yeah, see where I come from, they're skeet or spade.
Yeah.
That's both. But like they have
skeet, I like, is this skeet's good.
Skeet's a Newry one. Newry skeet.
That's a good name. Good name. Yeah. Loughton-Derry, I believe.
A Loughton-Derry.
That's what they, no, not a Loughton-Derry, just a lout.
A lout. Okay. That's it. We have skeet, and then
skeet's hilarious.
One of the ones, if you were a wee rocker, anybody with long hair in the '90s, early 2000s, was a wobbly.
A wobbly
head, because you listen to your music and bang your head.
That's insane. I love how we used to lump everyone into the category of hippie. Like, so there could be goth, emo, legitimate hippie, just anyone with like slightly weird looking. You're like, you're all hippies.
Yeah, someone who went to Woodstock and a Marilyn Manson fan, same group. In you fucking go.
So true.
But I mean, you're in Beachmount now. Are you from Beachmount, or where are you from in the West?
Originally, up in Andersonstown. I was living there for like the last, 13 years, I think it was.
Andytown?
Yeah, so just moving down in the world.
Okay, well then, you're moving further towards the city centre.
Andytown's like the
Beverly
Hills of West Belfast.
It definitely is.
It is, yeah, yeah.
It's fucking nice. I tried to buy a house there, and then in the most West Belfast thing, the estate agent screwed us out of it, so.
No way. Yeah, what happened with that?
Had sale agreed on it, and then they tried to pull a dodge by saying that the couple who were selling the house had accepted a higher offer. Mm-hmm. And I was like, do you know what sale agreed means?
And did they have the sale agreed thing up outside the house?
I don't know. They just told us, like, we got it, and the couple accepted our offer. Yeah. And then by pure chance, bumped into the lady who owned the house.
Yeah.
And she was like, oh, you pulled out of the sale.
So they were completely lying?
They were completely lying, because the lady who owned the house was like, oh, it went to the people but who had a lower bid than you. So they'd obviously tried to squeeze an extra bit, and we were like, nah.
That's insane.
I was just so fronted that we had sale agreed, yeah. And then they were like, nah, and then they just sold it to the next person told the people that we had pulled out of the building.
That is ludicrous. So did they like know the person that they sold the house to? Is that what it was? It was giving a friend an offer, or what was their logic?
No, it was the estate agent who tried to pull the fast one, because I was thinking, maybe they've told the people who own the house, this is how much you've got you, mm-hmm. and they were going to throw the difference in their back pocket.
Yeah, oh my goodness.
But I was like, So yeah, I live in South Belfast, but I tried to move into the West.
Oh my God.
Just so we'd be closer for us to get to football.
That is utterly insane.
It was fairly stressful, but it's okay. We've a bit of time left on the lease over the road, so what's next? You're still performance, you're still developing the set.
The next kind of biggest thing that I'm really eager to kind of push, and that we are pushing, is, did you ever see the film Tongued? We done the trailer for the Irish language.
Yes.
Yeah. So
we get on YouTube, folks, and it's just under Tongued, isn't it?
Under Tongued. It's also
Tongued.
Yeah, it should also be the top pinned post on the Barrack Boy page as well. So
sweet.
It's up there.
So subscribe to the Notorious. Is it, what's on under now?
The Barrack Boy.
The
artist formerly known as the Notorious Barrack Boys.
Jesus Christ. You gonna go Prince and make a wee symbol?
Exactly, yeah. I'll just be a little silhouette of a barrack.
Brilliant. Find it, give it a Google of the Barrack Boy on Facebook, or you're on Instagram and stuff as well, aren't you?
It's hard to use Instagram, mate. I'm just one man. I can do Facebook. I'm doing Twitter. I'm pumping away Twitter.
It was
much
easier.
I'm a status man, you know? I don't look good, so in Instagram, like, here's my horrible face. So I'll see it.
It was easier. For you. It was easier when Twitter was connected to Facebook, because you could bang it up and then it went.
What the fuck happened with that?
They obviously fell out. Instagram is still connected to Facebook, though.
Because they bought it over, didn't
they? You send that, it goes in. But Twitter obviously fell out, and we're like, we don't need your bullshit, Zuckerberg.
Yeah. Twitter, Facebook, main things. I mean, you follow me on Instagram if you want, but you're not going to see much.
Right. Get them on Facebook. Go to the page, and top pinned post is for the movie Tongued. Mm-hmm.
The movie Tongued, yeah.
Which was see when you shot the trailer,
mm-hmm.
Was it storyboarded as this is just what we need to show?
Yeah, so it's like a concept trailer, and then we were doing crowdfunding, and we got about, I think it was 2 or 3 grand, and then we used that for It was artwork and different things as well. But now we have like a full-on script and we have a producer attached as well. But we're just waiting to hear back from a director. And then as soon as we get the go-ahead, then hopefully we can push forward to getting it made. But it's just such a long process. It takes so, so long. Because like sometimes these directors will be working on a project and they're like, oh, I would like to, but I can't under that time schedule. So you're just like, oh, hurry up. But that's the one thing I want to get made, get that done. That's like my next big, huge push. And then I want to try and go for an hour-long show as well. And I've only done about maximum 15 minutes so far. So
the basis of the script first is obviously a load of wee Protestant boys from...
Yes, beautiful Protestant boys.
From Belfast are sent to the Gaeltacht.
Yes.
In
so,
Donegal.
Yeah, so the loose premise, they get expelled, they get that... kicked out of one of their classes. The only class left with any space is the Irish language class, and if they want to go to university, they'll have to do that A level. Then they wind up there, start finding dead bodies, things go awry, not all is as it appears, it gets quite sinister, and they have to fight their way off the island while also learning Irish at the same time. Now, fond that.
Yeah, that's a slasher movie.
I've got Prod speaking Irish, what more do you want? For fuck's sake. Is so money.
Linda Irvine doesn't have this happen.
I know. Linda Irvine throws a few quid, would he?
Oh, Jesus.
No, but yeah, that's it. So I really like it. I can chew the script and all if you want to have a look at it.
See, that just, you know, I'm just worrying, because that obviously means I'm too old to play one of the boys, but any teacher roles going on?
We'll get you in somewhere.
Can I pretend to be like a care worker?
We'll do that face technology, you know, that they've done the Robert De Niro. Get you looking like Baby Yoda.
Make me younger. Do you know, if I shave, I actually look 15, so it's not too bad.
Fair play to
you. You know those decade-old photos? Mm-hmm. I found my 2009. I'll show you when we're done here. It's the same with longer hair.
Really?
I swear to God.
See, my beard just grows so quickly, I can't even keep on top of it.
Yeah,
it just keeps pumping out.
So you can't hide that?
Yeah.
Just not back again.
It's like about, I'd be shaving every 3 days or something. I don't know, I hate it. I'd be like Wolfman.
So, projects on are Tongued, which as we talked about, and our long show. You're saying, like, how long have you been? A year or two?
I would say about a year and a half, maybe.
About a year and a half in from doing comedy.
Mm-hmm.
Are you not going to do an hour?
I'd say 40 minutes then with support.
Sweet. That's pretty good.
That's just kind of like, because Jordan Robinson as well, he was doing that Pig Heart show.
I'm doing a second night.
Oh, you're doing it? Yeah, actually, you were on the first night as well, weren't you?
No, first night was, I think it was it William and, no, it wasn't William. Ian and two other, damn it, it's on his Facebook, two great comedians, Jack McGee, open for him.
Oh, it's so great, you fucking remember them, would you?
Jack, no, that's fine, I
know. No, I love Jack McGee.
You're like, I fucking said your name right.
The only person he does.
Exactly, Jack and Ian, sorry. So they were opening for him. I'm either emceeing or opening the second night. Not totally sure, but I'm really looking forward to it, because I have a Jordan down at my gig in Uri a couple of times. So mm-hmm. We run the wee comedy club, so you'll be down at that next year.
Yeah, sweet, it'd be really good.
Happy days. So 40 minutes, that's...
I love that, that's like kind of a goal working towards, yeah. So I'd say I've done about, at the minute, the longest set I've done live is probably about 15-20. But then obviously, you know, just adding in all the stuff I've been doing beforehand, put it all in as one.
But I saw you doing, like, that stuff that I saw you do the other night, I hadn't seen loads of that.
Yeah, that was so on me. That was
but
on
I've
me,
seen
yeah.
you do 10 to 15, therefore you're bound to have...
X amount of material, yeah.
20, 25?
Yeah, if I stitched all together. I swear to God, I literally, like, sometimes I'm like, oh, fuck, what the fuck was my set? You know, when you change it over, like, a new 15?
Yeah.
Have you ever literally just forgotten, like, a bit of stand-up, and you're like, where's that written down?
Yeah,
that's happening.
Or I find old joke, like I'm doing comedy like 10 years.
Yeah.
So I find old joke books, mm-hmm. and then I'm like, what is the context?
No way.
Because I came from playing in bands before I was a comic,
mm-hmm.
so I sometimes still write set lists like a set
list.
I don't write full form jokes.
So you would write like a kind of a sentence, and that's a paragraph.
Yeah,
on stage.
And then I look at it and go, what was that bit?
Oh Jesus, then you can't remember.
Exactly. So it's, it could be years back. And then I'm like, I'm not sure what this is for.
I know, oh, it's so insane. The would you say your style has changed much over the 10 years, or what? Like from when you first started to now, like
yeah, I allow a lot more space to tell stories. I think when I started, I was just trying to write joke.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas now there's jokes inside a story.
Yeah.
With a payoff, so there's throwaway lines to keep people interested, and keep them laughing, mm-hmm. and then there has to be the big payoff.
Yeah.
But like you've seen my stuff, it's mostly travel stories.
Yeah,
I'm a very lazy writer, so I need something to happen to me before I write it.
Yeah,
instead of just, can I actually imagine something that happened? Like, no.
So at the start it was very much more just kind of short sentences, and now these are kind of like stories that you're doing.
Yes, then when I'm abroad doing gigs, I number one speak very slowly, and number two there's a lot more punchy stuff.
Yeah, just to make sure that they.
And then wherever I'm gigging, I'll try and write 2 to 3 minutes about there, to get them on side. It's because then I've sort of got that. Not local knowledge, but you're you're bringing them into it, being like, hey, yeah. I've been in your town and this is specifically for you. And then once they're on board, you can start into mm-hmm. all your bits and bobs. So
that's so good. Are you never afraid of like accidentally reading a situation wrong in one of these foreign towns and saying something
absolutely.
Like insanely inflammatory?
Well, yeah, I mean, I've done gigs in places like Singapore. Singapore's a police state.
Really? What's the story with that?
The story with that is they still have public canings.
No way.
So it's like, Singapore is kind of like what Dubai was based on.
Oh, really? So it's like rich financial, woven into the...
No, it's just a rich financial area. I wouldn't even know what they're... What is Singapore? Like, Malaysia's a Muslim country. I think Singapore's just got money, so they don't need religion.
Oh, really?
Or they're a mix of everything, you know?
Then why are they so strict on the population? Is it just...
I don't know. They've still got military service, and so it's weird. It's like a modern city.
They have elections, or...?
I think so, but I'm not sure how much matters.
Those old ones, winky face elections.
But it was that kind of thing where when you go through the airport in Changi Airport in Singapore, and you get your it's in Mastana, but when you get your wee bit of paper, your immigration form, in bright red writing, it's pretty much the death penalty exists for drug traffickers.
Oh, really? And they follow through on that?
Oh, yeah. Really? So no, not even. Oh, I'll get a wee. Smoke a weed after? You will not after
really? Not even not even a wee toke?
Not even a wee toke.
My goodness gracious me.
Maybe a wee poke with a bayonet. But no.
Did you remember that story before? It was on all of the newspapers a while ago. This granny had smuggled drugs, I think, out of Thailand, and she was going to get machine gunned to death.
Was that Thailand? Because they do that in Indonesia.
They
did that on some. There was an Australian citizen, two or three of them actually. And they're like, I can't believe our government's going to allow this. I'm like, you smuggle drugs into another country.
Yeah,
therefore, you're subject to the laws of said country. Yeah. And that's just how they deal with you. So, yeah, a couple of people got machine guns.
I can't believe my country will invade this country just cover my arse.
To save three drug dealers.
Yeah.
You're like, nah.
Yeah, not really going to happen. Like,
not going to bother.
So insane. You've been in Thailand.
I did a month in Thailand.
Thailand. Have you ever heard much about, I don't know why, but I have a real fascination with like prisons and like banged up abroad and stuff. But the Bangkok Hilton. Have you heard much about that?
I didn't see it, but that's in Turkey, isn't it? I'm thinking of Midnight Express, the movie.
Is that from the 80s. But I've heard that's literally one of the worst where foreigners end up.
It's like the Bangkok Hilton.
One of the worst prisons in the world.
I went to the Hanoi Hilton, which is where they used to keep the American soldiers during the Vietnam War.
Oh God, really? So they got a prison of war camp?
That's where they tortured...
John McCain, no?
John McCain, that's what. That's why he couldn't put his hands above his head.
Have you seen that, yeah?
Yeah, so there's... There was a whole thing about that, about how that's presented. It's so amazing whenever you go to places like Vietnam where they have the war museum.
Yeah.
And when they talk about history being written by the victors, it's fantastic to see just how spin works.
It's so true. I'm surprised. I'm honestly surprised the Viet Cong even kept American prisoners, you know, after like them just napalming villages and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
But would they have just done that for like prisoner release or?
I think they did that. It was more so obviously maybe they were just trying to prove that they were better. You know what I mean?
Oh,
even though they had. Because it certainly no one else was paying attention to the Geneva Conventions.
Yeah.
Like, so it seems to be if you're the massive colonial power at the time, like the French did it too. They were so the Viet Cong sort of obviously became, it was guerrilla warfare and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, they kept prisoners because that was people who were shot down over the cities trying to bomb the cities.
That's insane.
McCain was a fighter pilot who was shot down and crashed into the lake in Hanoi. And instead of letting him drown, they swam out and picked him up. He was like, I'm saved. Oh, wait a minute.
It was 10 years he'd done or something? Oh, not 10 years. It was good for years though, wasn't it?
They were there for a while, yeah. And they had that one.
Was about 11 years, wasn't it?
There was that famous story about the guy, the fighter pilot who was blinking and he was being tortured in Morse code. So he was blinking in Morse code.
Yes. Is this a video they released? Oh my goodness.
Because he was doing the whole, they are treating us well and we are being fed and certainly not hung from our feet and beaten with sticks.
I really want to do a bit of stand-up about, you know, when guys write these statuses online and it's them announcing how happy they are with their the surprising news that their girlfriend's pregnant. Have you seen these statuses?
That's a man who's done something wrong.
I want to do a video like that, but it's the same way, like, the prisoner of war is, like, blinking, like, Morse code, like, help me, boys, you know, please, what the fuck? What have I done? I haven't only known her for 2 weeks.
Have a wee, like, subtitle of what he means?
Yeah, that'd be...
Oh, yeah, that'd be great.
That would be really, really good to do.
I was slagging a mate of mine the other day because I went up to meet their new wee ba. Mm-hmm. It was lovely, cute wee girl. And my mate's wife is from Leonardtown in West Belfast. And I was holding the baby and I was like, she's so gorgeous. And I was like, are you sure you're from Leonardtown?
Mm-hmm.
She goes, why? And I goes, because there's the da there. She was like, fuck off. And I goes, no. Like, I mean, also, like, you're married to him.
Oh, I know.
And all the other kids are the same da. You're from here? She was like,
yeah,
cheeky bastard. Yeah.
I heard a horror story a while ago. A friend told me in work about this fella who he went out one weekend, got really lucky, and ended up like banging two girls. And then it turns out about a month later, both of them messaged him at the same time, saying that both of them were pregnant.
Not a chance.
Yeah, both of them were pregnant. That genuinely is like an urban horror story. It's like, you know, it's as scary as any horror film in the world, but it genuinely could happen.
And let me ask you something. Is it in West Belfast?
That it was, yeah.
Lads, bag it and tag it, okay?
Yeah.
Fucking Jesus Christ. That's... Can you imagine?
Two randomers, yeah, I know.
That's terrifying. He probably thought, this is the best weekend ever.
Yeah, that went from up to down pretty fucking quickly. I know. I was just like, I would love to be a fly on the wall for like a situation like that.
Or at least have access to his Facebook messages.
Oh my God, I know. Fucking hell.
I feel like you have access to... Why don't you do a podcast that is entirely of stories you've heard from West Belfast?
Oh my God, West Side Stories.
There
we go.
Yes.
There you have it.
What would you have instead of the Sharks and the Jets? Gangs, like.
I wanted to do a podcast before and I wanted to call it Big Anime Titties. And then to anyone on their phone, it would look like they were watching something called Big Anime Titties.
Fairly niche, but hard to find them. When
yeah,
are just
I
like,
think the joke would run out pretty quick after like episode 3 or 4.
Yeah, but... welcome to Big Anime Titties, where number one, we don't talk about titties or anime. Sorry, whoever just googled this.
Yeah, it's a real weird crossover of fans, local schmicks, and like all these like incels from America.
Oh Jesus! What is that something you would go into? I mean, obviously,
incel?
At this point, no, maybe, God, no.
The birds melt me, like maybe.
I was gonna say, to be fair, maybe their problem is they don't get to go into anybody. Yeah. So
unless you're driving a car in Canada.
Fuck, that's right. Don't say that. I used to live in Canada. Lovely people. With the sort of branding of now the Barrack Boy, because obviously you said it's from Tiny Acorns, Great Oaks, Growlick. Do you see that being? Is it that how you get attention now to do comedy? So you've got a live show now, you've got online content. Are you going to go down the podcast and more videos?
Yeah, I suppose with it just being me, it sometimes takes me a little bit longer to get stuff off the ground. Podcasting would be something I really like to do. And then if I could get some sort of like I was speaking about possibly getting a sponsorship for the Barrack Boy. And then I can maybe like do it full time or like do my job part time. Then I can just make more content and stuff for it. But the more free time I have, then the more content I'll make for it.
You know? I'm pretty much at that point where it's like I don't have enough cash to, if I could go part time and just have a crack at comedy, I would. But then if you give me any sort of money, I just travel.
Yeah.
Like I'm like, I could stay here and build a solid, but I'm away.
Yeah.
I'm in Asia for 4 months, you know, that kind of way.
I was doing a gaming channel as well. I've kind of taken a break from it there for like the last 3 weeks. But here, I'll have to get you on.
That's right.
The Barrack Boy gaming channel, yeah. Where we wore like the big green screen suits.
Isn't that mad that is what, that's somebody's job now? People have a gaming channel.
Crazy.
Excuse me? Literally. What do you do?
Sit and play games.
I've been doing that for years.
I know.
Once has anyone been like, you want a few pounds of that?
Have you heard the amount of money the PewDiePie makes? Literally
from playing.
Astronomical. Like, I don't even think he plays that many games anymore. He plays like about an hour and just like highlight reel.
And that's it.
Here's about 20 grand for that video.
Jesus Christ.
It's probably an underestimate.
He's a fucking online stuff. Is there anybody sort of online that, not that you would recommend, but is there anybody you look at and go, oh, that's cool. Who's generating content that is... Not in a bad way, because a lot of times these people only come to light when they're just like, oh, he's a massive racist.
There's a page called Nostril Shorts. I'm pretty sure they're from somewhere. It's not Cork. I think it's like the mid counties. But I've spoken to them a few times, and they do really good like animated shorts. And
the Midlands, okay.
Very, very funny. Who else? Well, kind of the other ones I was following at the minute who haven't blown up that much yet, but definitely follow them. Nostril Shorts are very, very good. Who else was I following as well? I'm doing a gig up in Derry here on the 26th with Owen Colgan from Hardy Bucks, which was one of my favourite online content back in the day.
That's great.
I lived for Hardy Bucks, like that was great. So I'm excited to do a gig with him. I'll pick his brain about a few different questions.
I've met Owen, he's a really, really nice
really
dude.
Nice,
I gig with
him
in Oma and I was chatting him and stuff. And
how long has he been doing stand up for?
He's in it now. I'm going to say 3 or 4 years.
Class, yeah.
He's doing really well.
So he just went from Hardy Bucks to
It was good for him because he had a platform and now he's popped on. So he's doing.
I love his videos too. The ones, what's his really famous one where he's talking directly to the camera and there's like a bridge behind him? Oh, it's about fighting a guy outside a pub and he finds out it's his own son.
Yeah.
Fantastic. He just captures that character so well. Check out Owen Colgan.
I always enjoy his retro Celtic tops.
Yes, yeah.
He's got like the 97 highlighter
Oh, yellow. Beautiful. retro Scottish football tops are holiday. Even I have a retro Rangers one upstairs in Beachmont.
That's right. That there's was a, for your... I'll edit that out in case somebody kicks your door.
Yeah, true, true.
But, no, he was doing that. So, one of the other things about performing live, obviously, when you want to do longer sets and stuff, mm-hmm. is there anybody you'd really like to gig with? Because I was telling this to, like, Jordan and guys like that. I feel like you guys are actually very lucky starting now. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's picking up quite a bit.
It's great. It's just, it's more so that there's and availability, too, good gigs. Yeah. Social media has made it.
We can promote yourself. You don't rely on other people. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But I've obviously come from the background of, you know, like punk bands and stuff where it's self promotion and you're just gigging and trying to be solid. Like yeah. I tour, whereas it would be probably easier if I was clever enough to make a hit video mm-hmm. and then book a tour around it.
Yeah, so true.
But that would probably wouldn't allow me to do like where I go to Australia every year and.
But I definitely think Paddy Raff has completely like done it. Like he should write like a book of how he used his social media. Because he went what
was it Snapchat he started on?
Was it Snapchat? He's definitely done the Snapchat videos, but he literally went from like that whole character Nigel, and I was only about a year and a half old, and that went from like conception to the SSE Arena in about a year and a half.
That's
and
true.
I would say he's all done that through like social media.
And he's doing two dates.
Yeah, two dates. Insane, crazy. So, like that is like a trajectory that is crazy.
This all happened when I was away though as well. Did Paddy have? Was Nigel or somebody on BBC? Or was he on the Noel show or something?
Yeah, I think he was definitely about before that, and then I think he got like a spot doing the High Table, Nolan's Top Table. It's a Stephen Nolan show. It's just like another brand he had of it. And then Paddy would do like a little 5 minutes at the end of that. I think that got him quite popular too.
Fair play.
Yeah, 100%.
I wouldn't listen to Nolan if you paid me. Like, true, so true. It's not.
I know what you mean. Like if you don't put out social media stuff, it can be like a disadvantage, and it can be a real advantage. Like just for especially for selling tickets as well.
Hence why Darren now has a podcast.
Yeah.
There you go. No, but like I've been on loads of podcasts before with people, and then people were like, "Why don't you just do your own?"
Yeah,
like,
so true.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to, but I'm just so used to working and gigging, so I need to. It's generation of content, but it's sort of weird because a lot of people start with one or the other, mm-hmm. and then realize that the two can't help.
Yeah, so true.
But like, it's class. I mean,
your gig and promote your social media stuff, and then you can promote your gigs and your social media stuff.
The brilliant thing over here is now there's a level to go to. Because for years, I mean, I'd say what the generation of comics who I would have started with or been around the time of. So guys like Mickey Bartlett, Shane Todd.
So you used to do it about 10 years, Shane, so then 8 or something? 8 or 7?
What am I now? 20? Hang on.
10? No.
Fantastic. A small child has just gone past. We thought about West Belfast things.
What the hell is that? Looks like he's riding a lawnmower.
Yeah, it's a 50cc scrambler.
I haven't seen a mini moto in years.
Brilliant. He must be getting a new one for Christmas. That one's
taking his kid off from school. So.
But he's about 10. Class. He's two kids. So guys like Mickey Bartlett, Shane Todd, all those dudes are doing Ulster Hall, Waterfronts, SSC Arenas. At least we have a level to go to now.
Oh,
that's class.
That's insane, I remember the first time. Was it Shane Todd done the Ulster Hall? And I was like, holy shit, like that's crazy, like doing the opposite Ulster Hall. Oh, here he's back again.
He's coming back. Well, he heard us talking about him.
Is this Shane Todd in that movie? But I was like, holy shit, that's so good, like the Ulster Hall. And then now he's doing the Waterfront with, and William is supporting him as well.
Yeah, they did that. Was it September or October? They did that.
That's right, they've done the Waterfront already, didn't they? Yeah. That was insane. Like, everyone just keeps smashing it. Keeps literally. What do you even do next? After the Odyssey? I don't know. What are you, the Croke Park?
Casement when they rebuild it? Are they ever going to rebuild Casement?
Oh, I don't know. Like, what is the story with that? Like, at all? I've heard, like, the residents were like, oh, we didn't get any sunlight. But you're like, but we want GAA, so just live in the cave.
You'll do as you're told.
Just take one for the team, you know what I mean?
Yeah, quite literally take one for the team because Antrim could do a bit of support.
No, true.
He's really, I say this as somebody not from Antrim, you really need someone to call home. Like,
I know. And it's going to be the promised land.
A homeless football team.
Literally
homeless. Casement was going to be the promised land because it was going to be economy in Belfast where they could be like, we're going to put on major shows here and stadium rock shows, and you'll be able to see anything they put on in Croke Park we can put up here in Belfast and put a bit of money
so
into the
true,
economy.
That's I never even thought about that. And they also opened up a Supermax as well down there in anticipation
of Mexicans coming up,
but then they closed it because the Casement didn't open, so we got a Supermax taken off us.
Was it actually open or did they just cancel it?
And we got the taste for it.
Supermax is class.
We got the taste for it. Now it's not there anymore. We're going nuts.
No way.
Like, how much can the Free State do us over? Give us a taste of Supermax and then take it away?
I'd be so annoyed with that.
It's disgraceful.
I had a great discussion with one of the guys I work with is from East Belfast. Mm-hmm. And I would sort of label myself, even though like I do try and speak a bit Irish and I play Gaelic football, I'm pretty middle of the road about most things.
Mm-hmm. So therefore it
annoys me when people try and tell me different. Yeah. That's my fucking
when they try and tell you what your opinion is?
Yeah, because I was talking about the football the other day and I was like, oh yeah, the Republic have had this team to play and I was mm-hmm. in the North are playing this team. And the guy went, don't say the North, say we. And I went, fuck off.
Respect my Fenian pronouns.
I was like, my mum's uncle actually played for the North or Northern Ireland or whatever you want to call it. But I was just like, you have to understand that where I'm from, you got to get a slap on the head for saying that. So shut up.
Yeah.
So it's kind of weird. We are from such a weird place. And it's only whenever I travel and tell people. Like, obviously, when I grew up in the 80s and 90s and thought that that was normal.
Yeah, same. I remember I used to think when I was really young that, like, Catholics and Protestants were separated all over Europe and, like, they would scrap each other on site.
Yeah.
Like a Protestant in Paris and all these, like, Catholics, Parisians.
What are you doing here?
Yeah. I thought it was like that everywhere.
No, it's pretty nuts as well. Remember what... Paddy McDonald telling me one time, he's from Divis. I don't think he said, like, I actually didn't speak to a Protestant until I was about 17.
No way. That's insane.
I was like, okay, if there's one place that needs a bit of depth in the gene pool, it's this island. So maybe start talking to each other.
Yeah.
Have you seen some of those fucking vacant stirred DUP councillors up on the North Coast?
Oh my God.
They need to stop marrying cousins.
So true. They've got that very, very specific, like, DUP face.
They definitely do, but there's that. But the same problem is in, like, I'm from South Armagh. Mm. My God. You can't throw a stone without hitting a cousin.
People grow on, what is it, eyebrows under their cheeks.
It's just dangerous. So
yeah. I love what's his name? Alan Partridge's guy, Steve Coogan.
Yes.
His character that he does is kind of the South Armagh kind of rebel singer. You must have seen him on BBC.
Oh, he's like a Sligo farmer.
Yeah. He's like a Sligo. I think he captures that 100%. Like,
yeah. I didn't realise. Coogan's dad is from here. He grew up around Manchester. So
no
he's,
way.
So, he's real like Labour socialist worker kind of guy.
So Steve Coogan's dad is from
Ireland? From Ireland, yeah.
Oh, no way. So what part like kind of...
I think he's like Sligo Galway. No I do way. Remember seeing an interview with him. I'll fact check
that. That must be why he constantly made all those like IRA jokes and Alan Partridge and stuff.
Because he understands it.
He did, didn't he? Yeah. He was like, scary Irishman, and there's all... Yeah.
Yeah. But he nails the accent.
It makes sense now. He does, yeah.
So good.
So true. That must be a hard gig, though. Like, if you're from, you know, Sligo, or just from Ireland in general, and then you produce just, like, 100%, like, English fella. Like, it's like your kid is so English. Because, I mean, Alan Partridge, or Steve Coogan, is so well-spoken. I mean, he's an English gentleman for all intents and purposes.
So is Jimmy Carr. His mum and dad are from Limerick.
Oh, my God. Oh, that's right, yeah.
He does jokes about that. He's, what does he say? Like, it started raining now just to really kick our recording quality in the dick.
Really fuck you off. It's peaceful, it's tranquil. I like it.
It is. Welcome to the. We can make this one of these ASMR.
ASMR, yeah.
For the last 5 minutes. Yeah. It's fucking teeming. Do you say teeming in Belfast?
In what sense?
Teeming rain?
No.
No. What about foundered?
Bucketing rain.
Bucketing rain. Can you be foundered with a cowl?
You see, I've heard people say foundered, but I would definitely say that's like an outside Belfast.
They're not Belfast.
Yeah, but sometimes they'll just stroke it and be like, oh, well, but for recycling.
What about...
Baltic would be kind of our foundered.
See, we use Baltic. You can't be claiming that one for everybody.
Really?
Trying to think.
Come
take it back. I've got more friends than you do.
come to the savages of the West.
It's fucking nice up here. Actually, even though it's lash and rain, it's quite
very,
nice up
very
here.
Very true. But see, I swear to God, like, I love the slang that, like, you know, both cultures mix and everyone all over Ireland has. It's so, like, creative and stuff. Because, you know, North Americans really have, like, not that much slang. Like, the white ones, anyway.
No, they really don't. Yeah. Whereas we... But as you said, like, in our language, a lot of our language and slang terms are bleed-overs from the Irish language.
Yeah. Like, the word smashing is ismoishin.
Yeah.
And the word... I know a few of these. There's a... Baltimore is Boilia Chimor, which is land of the big houses. Shanty town means old house in Irish, because shanty.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. Irish language folks all around us. Please give us money and finance.
There's no need to lean into that microphone at all. But yeah, this is it. One of the other things as well is, as someone who, you have an interest in the Irish language, and one of the big things that obviously has stopped the fact that we have no government in here is the Caoimhe.
Oh my God.
Well, is that the Irish Language Act?
Yeah, true.
What is the actual basis of this? Is it that they don't believe it exists, or...
Yeah, I don't know.
It's weird.
Yeah, I think from what I know, one of the key things of the Irish Language Act is, like, officially the government recognized it as like the indigenous language of the land as well, so it has like a protected status, whereas at the moment it would have kind of the same status as like Polish or like Chinese or like an international language, I think. And I think as well it's because so many people are coming through Irish medium education just to give them, so they can, once they leave school, they can still engage with the government if they wish in the Irish language. And, you know, they're all taxpayers too, so...
Fair enough. You know, no, yeah. I wasn't sure, obviously, because my Irish is pretty limited to Ardwa Habu, you know, that kind of thing, like cheering on football teams.
If you could interact with it, like, a lot more, then your Irish would be, you know, you could, if you wanted to, you could keep it well.
Exactly.
No, if you have the option, you know.
Yeah,
you
I do want to... the other thing as well is because I was introduced to Irish in a Catholic education setting.
Oh my god, yeah.
I wasn't a big fan because they're just trying to beat it in. There's guilt involved.
Oh my,
it's like, if you don't fucking speak this, you're a Brit.
If you don't pick his language up, like, you're going to get in trouble. Like,
yeah, pretty much. So I got a C in my GCSEs.
Did you do it in secondary school or primary school? Or
one of my primary school teachers introduced us to us when I was probably about P5.
Oh, really? But you spoke English in your primary school?
Spoke English in my primary school, yeah. Went to St. Joseph's in Bessbrook, which is a mixed village. So one of my teachers was a former Sinn Féin counsellor, so he decided we're going to learn Irish.
No way.
And he this was the early 90s, so even though he wasn't supposed to slap you, there'd be a few slaps dealt out.
Was this like the transition period? It was like, because it must have, I mean, actually, it couldn't have been whenever they outlawed slapping kids in school. It wasn't like the next day they weren't slapping kids.
Definitely not.
100%. There's a 6-month kind of cool down period.
Mind 6 months. I think the ban slapping in about 1982. So I'm talking primary school, 1984. People are still getting
Surely there must have been. Like, I mean, how hard were these slabs being dealt out in 81? Like, could you just knock a kid out?
I think so. I do remember seeing a lad in my school. One got a slap in the back of the head, and I got grabbed by the hair and bashed off the desk. My older brother can tell you a couple of stories about another teacher from our primary school who would use the meter stick on you. Mm-hmm. So, but I mean, these might just be people who were sadists anyway.
That's utterly insane.
With a teaching degree.
Did you ever had the dreaded Christian Brothers? Were they a thing where you were from?
There was a Christian Brothers school in Newry called the Abbey, CBS, which I never went to. I went to St. Coleman's College, which was run by priests. And went there for a year before I moved to the lovely high school that was St. Paul's.
Oh, is that sarcastic or is that actually?
No, actually lovely. I have a tattoo of my school crest.
Oh, class, that's really
I liked
good.
My school.
Oh, so what years did you do there?
I did first year and I hated it. And then because it was a grammar school and I am not middle class. Have you ever felt like you don't belong somewhere?
Yeah,
it'd be like if me and you went for like a nice dinner in Victoria Square or something, you'd be like, we shouldn't be here.
We're not the clientele, we're not the demographic. But did they have the same reputation, the Christian Brothers, like over there? Were they meant to be like these scary as fuck,
terrifying people?
Yeah, literally Egypt's like.
Yeah, there was, who was it? There was actually my primary school, a nun was the headmistress.
Oh, really?
And my grammar school for the first year, a canon was the,
that's like
not a priest,
bishop.
Not a bishop.
That's...
Is it a trainee bishop?
A canon's one of the ones you pick the Pope, isn't it? No?
That's a cardinal.
That's a cardinal, is it? Yeah. What the fuck's a canon?
I don't know, but he was in
charge. This is like the muscle?
Maybe.
The canon? We're bringing in the canon? That's the most intimidating thing. You're being sent to the canon.
Yeah, pretty much.
Imagine being here, you're not as a kid. You'd freak out.
He's another one of these fuckers that's under investigation now, 20 years later.
Really?
So,
Jesus Christ.
Glad I never fucking met him.
That's utterly insane. One of my uncles had a cracking story before. He went to the CBS school in West Belfast. And they were all out at lunch one day, and one of them had a snooker ball, and one of them threw it, and it ended up knocking one of the Christian Brothers completely unconscious.
Holy Christ!
But they weren't trying to hit him; they were just trying to like throw it in a group of people. But it smacked him and knocked him out, and they like kept everyone behind school until like 5 o'clock, trying to like find out who done it and stuff.
Did they catch him?
Yeah, they did. Yeah.
Did somebody doubt?
I think so. Yeah, I think the wall of silence lasted like 2 hours, and they're like, "Right, 5 o'clock here. Come on, what the fuck?"
Somebody just put the hand up and walked out of here.
Someone with a 6'9" tattoo in the top of their head.
That's nuts.
Yeah, crazy.
That no, I don't think that would have happened at home. They would have fucking sat there all day.
So mad.
Do your worst, Jesus friends.
Friends of Christ.
Oh God, no, that's fucking terrifying. That great shot though. If he hit him with a snooker ball.
He did, but you see, it was more like a spray and pray because there was just a dense crowd of people, and he's just like fucked it into the crowd. You know, it was like an indiscriminate targeting. You know, it wasn't a precision strike.
Who says there's nothing to do in West Belfast? Jesus Christ.
Was that a thing in your school days? Like, I distinctly remember having periods where we would all, like, we'd be given, like, fruit for our lunch, and then none of us would eat it, and then you'd all dare someone to, like, throw an apple at, like, another group of boys over there. I mean, this is the kind of things we just done in school. We were so stupid.
I think,
throwing fruit was a big part of my life in school. It really was.
Not maybe throwing fruit, probably just acting like an idiot. Science class was always a good one for it,
yeah. Did you ever wrap a condom around the taps and like it just ballooned out?
I was often not allowed near the gas taps. It was a bit of a pyro.
Yeah. Like, what were they thinking? Here's an open gas tap. You're 15 years of age.
Exactly. And a lot of you smoke.
Yeah. What the fuck? What the fuck? Like...
Yeah. I'll come around with a taper to light your... Oh, you've got your Bunsen lip. How'd you do that? Jeremy, how'd you do that? two flints in it.
A technology. I'd be the most anxious cunt in the world if I was like some sort of technology teacher. You know, like those big rotating saws and drill bits
bandsaw.
And bandsaw, glue guns, everything.
One of the great ones that I got was a safety demonstration by one of the teachers where he just got basically a piece of timber and turned on the bandsaw and he went, "Here's why you're not allowed to use this. So if you want something cut, you come and get me. Here's a finger. Here's another finger." And I was like, "This dude is fucking amazing."
That's so true though. Like, I wouldn't get near one of those things.
To be fair, now some of the teachers in my school had been doing it for 20, 30 years. They had that Vietnam second tour.
They've seen everything.
1,000-yard stare. They have seen everything.
Did you have the classic alcoholic teacher in your school?
Yes.
Every school had one, didn't
they? The guy who taught me Irish.
Really?
He used to come in and he would give you something to do and he would fall asleep behind a copy of the Irish News.
No way.
He could sleep holding a paper with his feet in the desk. It was genuinely impressive.
He had that job locked down.
Oh, yeah. Would you tell me, sacked?
Yeah, fuck, no way.
Yeah, here, go fire that Sinn Féin. No. I had a good one actually the other day. One of the girls I know back home from Newry, she's actually in the last local election, she campaigned to win a seat for Sinn Féin.
Mm-hmm.
Now, although a lot of time we don't agree on politics, I always get a good laugh at her at her Instagram story because
mm-hmm.
she put up. She was out campaigning for a guy, Mickey Brady,
mm-hmm.
down in Newry. He's one of the local councillors, and she put up a photo of his leaflet saying, "Come and do a door near you soon." Or so I just messaged underneath, "Change times, because years ago you definitely didn't want the Shinners coming to your door."
So true.
And she just put underneath the note, "Haha, true."
Fair play there.
Yeah, not even denied.
Oh my god.
So yeah.
Yeah, nah, Sinn Féin come to your door, I'm running.
Exactly.
Running to the hills.
I'm not going to tell her name, but I'll tag her in this later on so she can have a private chuckle.
So she can know all about it.
Because touts get shot where I come from.
So true.
That was actually one of my first jokes. Why can't you buy second-hand concert tickets in South Armagh?
Why?
Because touts get shot.
Excellent.
I thought that was all right.
Oh, you know, I haven't been down to South Armagh as much as I would like to. You have to give me the tour sometime.
Oh well, there's only one road, it doesn't take long.
Oh really? Yeah.
Yeah, nearly across McLean's a straight road, and then we'll loop back around through Drumontee and back past.
Do they still have the Armagh sniper signs up, or are they taken down?
No, there's still a few up, I think, for historical purposes.
Really?
And also because they used to be booby traps, so you wouldn't go try and take that down.
Did you ever see when they had the Armagh sniper sign, but then there was a ceasefire and they put off work or something? Or it was like they put a sign over it.
Yeah.
And what was it, on strike or something? They wrote something for it. There's always that sense of humour with the RA that like ISIS and all just didn't have.
Yeah. He had he was like on his holidays or something.
It was brilliant. And then what was the other one as well? They said to the Margaret Thatcher, like, we have to be lucky, you only have to be lucky once, or like you'd be lucky all the time. Like the most, they're always like, why was giving back chat? Like if they had Twitter but back then they would have been like
their official page.
I literally think they'd be doing like memes and shit after terrorist attacks.
Yeah, I that was
they would.
One of my old ones whenever she passed away, because everyone had a sort of real hacky Margaret Thatcher joke, and I was like, I'm going to make mine the hackiest I can. And I was saying people were, you know, obviously conservative voters were going to say when Baroness Thatcher died that she'd be missed, and I was like, to be fair, they missed her twice.
That's brilliant.
And I was like, I'm such a hateful person, I didn't realise.
You have to get out of your system, mate.
Oh, exactly.
Everyone's been waiting on that joke for so long. You know, it was my birthday when she died.
Yeah?
Yeah, 8th of April.
That's a weird present.
It was, yeah, true. I had a Pope die on my birthday and Thatcher as well.
Are you the Antichrist?
I don't know, some's up, some's not quite right. What's your opinion on Gerry Adams' Twitter? Like, do you think if it wasn't for the Troubles, he would have been like a goofball kind of local comedian? I was like, I think that actually might be the case.
Like he would open for Frank Carson.
Yeah, he's just like silly. He's like a goofy kind of guy. I always thought he was like a terrifying guy, but I think he literally is just kind of a bit of a goofball.
I don't think he has to be terrifying. He's got enough terrifying people that he knows.
Yeah, but you don't see like El Chapo and all behaving like pictures of their rubber ducks and all this kind of stuff.
Can you get positive press out of this? Like,
I don't know. Yeah, so he was just like, I've given up on trying to get positive press.
Yeah, pretty much. He's
I'm
just
happy
like,
I can speak.
Exactly. The good thing is as well, for a man who had to who'd be overdubbed for years, Twitter's entirely text based.
Yeah, so true.
So you don't have, you're like, you can censor me all you want, but there you go, worldwide forum, and I've texted it in.
Absolutely mad. Did you ever see the footage of him when they would overdub him?
Yes.
And
it's still on YouTube.
Yeah, and they had that Marty. What was his name? What was the actor's name? He was the actor who's in. Oh, The Crying Game.
Stephen Ray?
Stephen Ray was one of the guys who voiced over Gerry Adams.
No way. He's from Belfast as well.
And he's married to a female hunger striker too, or he was, Marianne Price.
That's right.
I was like, what the fuck? All these English people love him, they're what the fuck?
I thought, because I always thought Stephen Ray was from Dublin, because the first film I probably saw him in was Michael Collins.
He has that kind of accent, doesn't he?
Yeah.
He's middle of the road. Yeah, it's kind of hard to pin him. He's a great actor though. But we actually learned about this in my film studies class. We were learning kind of sound design, and they were talking, just showing us how to overlay, you know, dub people, but they were obviously doing the Gerry Adams one because it was a bit more engaging. And that guy, he could literally do Jeremy's voice so good that there was no real difference between when he actually spoke and when he was dubbed. And then apparently that's one of the reasons they were like, well, there's no point, we literally can't do this, it's the same voice, he could do it that well.
So what you're telling me is Stephen Ray
broke the will of the British establishment,
helped to end the censorship of Gerry Adams in real life, and also helped Michael Collins in the movie.
True.
That's right, because he's the inside man in Dublin Castle.
Literally insane.
Jesus Christ, when real life imitates art.
What is going on?
This is so good.
It's absolutely crazy.
I'm going to go back and listen to this podcast. I have so much to Google that you've told me. This is so good. What do you... Before we sign off sort of now, because obviously you're in the city and you're interacting and stuff, doing a lot of... Do you have, like, people who are on the Barrack Boy page? Mm-hmm. Is it all people from West Belfast, or have you got a weird audience?
I was actually looking at the breakdown the other day. I think there's about 80,000 from Belfast, and then there's about another 20,000 are kind of from cities in and around Ireland. So there's like 3,000 from Dublin.
So they'll get the humour?
It's mostly all over Ireland, and then concentrated mostly... I'd say probably about 60% in Belfast and 40% outside of Belfast. And then there's 2,000 in America. There's like 600 in Canada.
Because there's obviously...
There's 2,000 in Thailand too. But I think these may be expats who Ireland and go... And there's 2,000 in Australia.
Sure, they're mates.
So they're pretty broad. A broader spread than I initially would have thought.
Yeah, you thought this is gonna run from Devis to Hannestown.
Dream big.
Dream big. Run, four listeners in Lisbon.
Run Hannestown.
Yeah, the four Fenians in Lisbon. Oh man, no, definitely.
Sounds
I think
like a DUP poster to put up North Belfast.
Yeah, exactly. My God, that. What even? One of the things. I mean, you talk about social media for promoting comedy. Mm-hmm. Do these politicians realise how unintentionally hilarious they are?
Oh, they're so insane.
Like they are insane, and I think they're deadly serious, but they're fucking idiots.
Absolute lunatics.
And they're like, here, can you vote me in so I can be in charge of you? You're like, definitely not.
Who's your favourite local politician to follow on Twitter?
Local? See, I was going to say somebody like, I mean, you've got people like Naomi Long, but they mostly just, it's common sense. Mm-hmm. You're like, can you throw a bit more humour in that one?
I think everyone loves following Jimmy Bryson, though.
He's good.
He's a bizarre case where, like, I think genuinely probably about 80% of the people who follow him must be there to roast him, because every time he posts anything, it's just people griefing him, like, on
Yeah.
Like, literally, you could literally post something that's not even, like, political, and people are like, to call him, like, Seamus and all, and, like, just all his constant abuse.
I just really loved that photo of him, like, on his holidays years ago, holding the Hurley with the Ireland flag, and mate, how many free pints did you get out of that? What are you doing?
Do you know how I love following on Twitter as well? Jim Allister, because, like, he literally just does. I've always said this, he's, like, the most honest politician in the world. It just so happens that his honesty is, like, horrendously bad.
Yeah. I follow Jim Allister as well. He's pretty much just like, I hate you. I've never met you, but I fucking hate you.
Like, people are like, think that the DUP are so insane, and you're like, we have, like, one level above.
Yeah.
It's like Project X, Jim Allister gets revealed. It's like... The unionists have been working on him. He's too strong. Like, we had to put him back. He's a one-man party as well. Have you seen his election posters where, like, he got his candidates, and because no one knows them, he stands behind them, and he's like this? Have you not seen his election posters?
No, he's backing them.
Every single poster is a wee mini Jim Allister behind the candidate that they're fielding.
I need to find this.
Mate, it is ridiculous.
Because obviously he's TV. And
he is the TV, you know. No one else is really, you know.
Yeah, I think what's brilliant as well, obviously you're saying... So he's too hardline to be in the DUP.
Yeah.
The DUP themselves basically stepped down Paisley because he was making too many friends.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just like, you made some Marty McGuinness now, are you?
So mad,
like, you're out. And he's like, what? What do you mean I'm out? I started this church. Nah.
I started this gangster shit.
Yeah, you gotta
this
go.
This is motherfucking like, thanks I get, Ian Paisley.
Paul Dianio started Iron Maiden, but he's out too, like, two
that's
albums
insane.
In.
I'm not even kicked out of here with Steve Jobs as well.
That's right.
Get the boot from his own thing. I'm gonna get booted out of the bag, boys.
Even though it's only you?
Yeah.
Can you sack yourself?
Probably could, mate, yeah.
Oh, Jesus. Because I know what I was going to say, when you produced the content yourself, from your video from years ago, Is it just like mates that give you a hand on a Saturday?
Back in the day it was mates, but obviously the more like short films and stuff I've done, I've got actual people who do like, so it's a lot easier to kind of get that.
Yeah.
Because I had some mates ringing me up and they were like saying they had jobs as teaching assistants and they're like, please take a video down, these kids keep playing this video in class and like keep showing me, and they're like, I can literally can't do my job, and I was like, right, calm down. And then about 6 months later I took it down.
I think this is brilliant as well, because this is like the professional version of somebody who was like a porn star in the 80s, and now they're running for office, and like, and there's like, you have to get rid of that con. I'm like, internet up forever.
It's like, we in a porno. It's like, no, Morris was in a Barry Boy video. Get out of this house. You're not a daughter of mine.
I'm gonna leave it there, because what a great quote. Get out of this house, you know, daughter of mine. Fantastic, Cormac. Thank you very much for coming.
No problem. Absolute pleasure.
Enjoy the chat in your wee coffee.
It was good. It was good crack.
No problem. This is great, because we're sitting in the car now, but the windows have kind of steamed up like Titanic.
They have, yeah. It's very romantic.
Do you want a ride before you go?
Sure, yeah. I'll run my hand in the window. Be sweet.
Fantastic. Right, we're going to go and be inappropriate, and I will stick this up.
Right, slang a forward.
If you've enjoyed the podcast, guys, like, subscribe, tell your mates. I'm going to make you put it, because you're more famous than me. So
true, true.
Yeah, I'm going to make him advertise for me, because he's a nice fellow.
I'm your bitch.
Exactly.
Wasn't in the contract, how dare you?
Wait, I'm supposed to pay you? Jesus, right. I have to go and fucking negotiate with this man. I will talk later. And as we all know, it's quite hard to negotiate with people from West Belfast. Thanks for listening. Give me a goodbye in Irish, sir, buddy.
Slán go fóill, a hann dainne.
Slán go fóill, yeah.